Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Warning, this episode contains foul language, extremely graphic content, and a very loose structure.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we sit down with one of our friends and chat about something weird. And this week is certainly no exception. What you are about to hear is not a news broadcast. Do you think I'd be fooling anyone if it was a news podcast?
I don't think so.
Join us and see if you can solve a mystery, because today we're going to be talking about unsolved mysteries. We've got strange disappearances, grisly discoveries, and we're still left with a whole lot of questions in the end. And we expect you, listeners, to write in and tell us what your favorite theories are, or if you have some of your own. My name is Ashley, and this is my beautiful co-host, Lauren.
Hey, weirdos.
Pretty girl. And today we are joined by one of my absolute best friends, all the way from Denver, Colorado, Amy Hanselman.
Hi, weirdos. Woo!
Coming from Colorado, Denver, but originally from Chicago.
I'm
from Chicago.
My favorite city on the planet.
Three Illinois girls here today.
Oh, yeah.
So
I ate at the Portillo's in Anaheim on Friday.
How was that?
Nice.
It was, I think I told you, I went to In-N-Out Burger today for the first time ever.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like, it's not Portillo's.
No. I don't know if I've ever had Portillo's. I'm not going to lie.
Girl, I mean, we
it's
drove
good
like,
stuff.
We were driving by the Portillo's. Therefore, we went to it. I would probably not be like, oh,
let's go to Anaheim.
Yeah.
For Portillo's.
Like, there was one time where I visited and Laura was like, do you want to go to the Portillo's? It's in Anaheim, but if we go there, we have to go to Disneyland too. And I was like, no.
No.
Then I say no.
No.
Then I say absolutely not.
We're not going.
I'd rather never have Portillo's again. I say that, but I actually love Disneyland, so it's fine.
Like it when it's not, you know, packed to the brim and
which
you can't
it always
move,
is
which it always
now.
Is lately.
That's a whole different conversation. Hi, Amy. Welcome. Amy is a like avid listener of our
yes,
show.
Yes. Number one fan.
I am, and I have to admit that I didn't listen for a long time because I was so scared and I would try and
yeah,
listen.
You're a little
and
bit
was,
of a scaredy pants.
It was too spooky. Oh no, now I'm a champ and I listen to other true crime podcasts and
ooh,
listener ghost stories and I don't even care. And I was like listening to something and I was listening to all the listener ghost stories and I was like, these are not scary at all. I'm so cured. And then I listened
so
to your
cured.
Last listener ghost stories and I was like, why is this scaring the shit out of me? It's because of the scary folio
Ashley's
that you do
effect.
And it terrifies
yeah,
me
it
and
really
that is
you.
Why it is so scary.
It's scary to edit myself.
Yeah, like, I'm sitting here like listening to the sound effects. I'm like, that's a really scary sound effect.
I'm really good at this.
It adds so much to it. I can't listen to them alone in the dark when you add those sound effects. It's team too much.
Yeah, I remember because when you first started listening to it, I could tell when you first started listening to it because you were texting me about it all the time and you'd be like, I listen to Bermuda Triangle. I listen to Women Who Kill, blah, blah, blah. But I remember like a new episode would come out and it would be a listener ghost stories and you're like, damn, I can't listen this week. And I'm like, just go back. It's not that bad. Like, try and listen to the listener ghost stories episodes. I bet you can do it.
Well, so I finally did. And then I was like, ugh, now I have to find a new podcast because I finished listening to every second of your podcast. And that's the only reason that I listen to other ones. Because obviously yours is the best.
Obviously.
You should only be devoted to us until the binge is over.
I'm only devoted to you guys. I just had to listen to some other jackwagons because you guys, you only put out one episode a week.
Very true. Sometimes not even.
Sometimes not even.
Sometimes every other week. Sometimes we need a break, okay?
Okay. Sometimes we get tired.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
So now you're like Miss Occult, Miss True Crime. You can take on the world.
I was like always into that stuff, but also like ghosts would have always creeped me out. Like True Crime, I'm like, I don't care about murder. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. But somebody's like, hey, I looked in the corner and there was like a shadow. And I'm like, what?
What?
No.
I am the exact same way. And I think it's because I've never seen a ghost, or I don't think I have. I've had like weird experiences, but nowhere near what Ashley or some of our other guests have experienced. But it's just so unknown to me that it scares the shit out of me. But then a murderer, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, even though I'm like, I don't believe in ghosts, but what if there are ghosts?
What if they're here?
What if they are here?
I feel bad for Joe. I'm on Team Joe, where he's like, I don't ever want to see a spirit, and then he starts dating your ass.
I know, it's so funny.
You ruined his life. You ruined his life.
We did that episode, and he asked that question. If you're someone who's never experienced this before in your life, when you start dating someone who does experience those things, am I going to start seeing this everywhere? And I literally was like, you're not. That's not how it works, I don't think. I'm pretty sure you have to kind of be born with the ability to be open to these things, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Not even a week later, I get a text at work and he's like losing his shit because he saw someone walk through the apartment. I was like, oh, I was wrong about everything. I'm so sorry.
My encouraging response was incorrect.
Yes. I mean, but that's the only thing that he's experienced, right?
And that's the only thing I've ever been wrong about in my life.
Right. You're always correct.
That's true. But also it could have, you know,
could have been a trick. Could have been, light.
Yeah. Also, our brains are wired in a way to like fuck you up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's like so many things that your brain does that are to protect you. And then
like not seeing your nose.
Like you can't see your nose because it would drive you insane.
Uh-huh.
You go blind when you turn your head because when you turn your head, you can't see.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
And your brain does that because if you could see, it would be like every single like movie that you watch where, God, what is it, Cloverfield?
Yes.
Where you want to puke and it would just, like, your life would be a nightmare and no one would have a job because we'd all just have migraines all the time.
That's so true.
Anyway, he probably just turned his head really fast and then a ghost tried to kill him.
That's probably exactly what happened. I really like that you said that when you turn your head, you go blind, and both me and Lauren started going like, what?
We started turning our heads like, what does she mean? And then we both said, oh, I see.
You don't go blind.
No,
but you like can't focus.
You can. You're blind when it happens. Uh-huh. You don't see what's happening. And that it also fucks you up because then when you see something out of the corner of your eye, you're like,
who was that? What was that?
I was blind. I don't know.
But we talked about that too on the superstition episode, the Bloody Sophie episode, because we talk about how Bloody
your
Mary
eyes
works.
Can trick you.
Yes.
Yeah, if it's a dim room and you look at the same thing for too long, your brain will literally start to morph that thing mm-hmm. because it doesn't want you to go insane. So thanks,
new
brain.
Face. I know. Thanks a lot, brain.
There's so many things that you're like, that's cool that it does that, but it could not.
Yeah.
It could just not do that.
We should not do this thing.
Yeah.
For me.
Everyone else can have that.
Everyone else can have it.
Creepy ass experience where they see you melting or whatever.
Yeah, or like see people behind them.
Nice.
Welcome to Keep It Weird. We have white wine. It's delicious. And LaCroix, as per usual.
Always.
Sponsored by Pomplemousse LaCroix. That's a lie. So today we're talking about unsolved mysteries. And I'm so excited because I've had a handful of these. waiting for 2 years. How long have we been doing this?
A year waiting and a half. Waiting in the wings this whole time.
I'm actually going to start today with one. This is one that I... This episode and next week's episode that we're recording, next week we're doing urban legends. I've been diving into my hometown a lot recently. I don't know. I just kind of like got a bug up my ass or a bee in my bonnet, if you want to not be vulgar.
a bee in my bonnet.
About things I didn't know about my hometown, because I lived there for like 21 years and I really didn't know much about its history. So I started going into its history and I started discovering some really dark, grisly shit. So I'm going to talk about one first today. And this actually happened. You've been to my house, Amy. So it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Yes. It's not a farm, but mm-hmm. we do have cows in the backyard.
So a little bit.
Not a farm. So this happened 20 miles away from my house. And it's a little crazy to me that it even happened and I don't remember it. And I actually knew about this Jane Doe for quite some time, but never really looked into where it took place. It's literally one town over. So mm-hmm. terrifying. So in 1993, a woman's severed head was found hanging in the bushes in an Illinois state park. Two little girls, aged 10 and 12, were running through Wayne Fitzgerald State Park near Rend Lake when they discovered the head of a woman with shoulder-length, reddish-brown hair. The police determined she was 30 to 50 years old and that her head didn't show extreme stages of decomposition and for sure couldn't have been there for more than 2 weeks, because that was the last time that specific area was populated. There was like a picnic there or something. So okay. It was for sure populated 2 weeks ago and it wasn't super decomposed. I have to actually pull up a picture of this woman's head real quick. Hold on.
Oh, great.
I'm very excited to
see
it.
Well, it's not her. It's a recreation of her head, but you really need to see
to understand.
To understand the severity of this situation. Some crazy stuff about her discovery. Her body was never found. It was just her head. And the lake and the rest of the park were searched. No trace of her body, clothing, or DNA was found anywhere but the head in the bush. The police theorized that potentially someone threw the head from a moving car. It was not concealed at all. It was just sitting in the bushes as though it was thrown out. Possibly someone had a dismembered body and they threw all of the pieces into the lake, but the head didn't make it in. But there was no evidence on the head that it had ever been in the lake. So if that was the case and the rest of the body was just tossed in, it would have floated to the surface or came ashore because it wouldn't have been weighted down.
Yeah.
Well, did they drag the lake?
They did. They searched the lake. I don't know if they dragged the whole lake, but they dragged that whole area. Like, because it's a big, Rin Lake is a pretty big lake.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's bodies in there. But
oh Lord,
maybe they should bodies in every.
They
lake.
Should just do a yearly dragging.
You should really.
You should like, do that with every body of water. Bodies. Like that's where everyone puts the dead bodies.
You put
we
them
know
in the lake.
I know.
I turn into Seinfeld at least one time an episode. For now. Like, you true. Put the body in the lake.
Put the body in the lake.
So the head as well has never been identified, which is interesting for several reasons. For one, the woman suffered from something known as wry neck, which is essentially when the neck is twisted so the top of the head tilts to one side while the chin tilts to the other side. This condition can be something you're born with or caused by some sort of trauma. In her case, judging by the healed lesion on her skull, the police assume her condition was from a trauma of some kind. This can cause debilitating pain and difficulty performing daily tasks. Most people with this condition definitely have trouble living alone. The reason this is pertinent to the story and why it's so strange is because she is very much so an easy person to identify.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know her name or know where she lived, she's someone you would easily remember seeing and would be able to tell the police something about her. So this is the recreation of her head.
That's
oh
yeah, you would probably notice her.
That's a face.
Isn't that one of the scariest
she
things you've ever
is
seen?
That is, I know I'm being so rude, but you would not forget that
you wouldn't
face.
Forget that face.
Honestly, it's
it.
the tilt and the way that her mouth
the mouth shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely like if I saw her in real life, I would not be like, "You're horrible."
But if you saw this picture on the news, right. You would be like, "I remember that face."
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So that is number one. That's the biggest part where no one ever came forward to say they knew this woman. And it's like, how did no one come forward to say that they knew this woman? So not only that, but she had expensive dental work done. She had had all four wisdom teeth removed and even had a triple root canal. This means there are dental records for her somewhere.
Yeah.
They were never able to find the dental records. But if we only knew where to look, because one of the theories the police had was that these people were driving from, like, say, Texas up north, like to Chicago, and like threw the head out on the way.
Right.
But then again, I researched it. No body. And again, like the body could be well hidden or buried or burned or whatever, but no torso was ever found. No nothing. And this picture was on the news all across the Midwest.
Yeah.
It wasn't just in Centralia. It's a freaking head. You think
other cities would have been able to chime in and be like, hey.
What year was this?
1993.
I think. So you'd think that if that happened now, they'd have a way to like cross-reference dental records across the entire country, which honestly, if they wanted to, they could probably do it now and see if they got any matches.
Probably. I'm sure they're saved.
Yeah.
This is like one of the, and the reason that this was so interesting to me is because I've known about this Jane Doe case for years, because it's one of like the biggest like mystery Jane Doe cases in the United States, because like, how could you not recognize this woman?
Right.
So dental records are somewhere, but when her head was found, this is also interesting, her teeth were rotted down to the gums, which means at one point she was very well taken care of, either by herself or her family, and within recent years she had not been taken care of at all. So was her family tired of caring for her and they just didn't anymore?
Yeah.
Was she kidnapped? You know what I mean? Was she kidnapped and kept held captive for some reason and not taken care of? Was she dead before she was decapitated? Why throw her head out of the window of a car? Like, if it was her family, why would you throw the head out of the window? Like, you would be questioned first. So you wouldn't just, like, willy-nilly throw the head out of the car. And like I said, maybe she'd been kidnapped years ago by some sick man who wanted, like, a concubine of some way and locked her away until her teeth rotted out and then disposed of her body. But no matter what, the craziest part of the story is simply that she hasn't been identified by anyone. And even now, the way I knew about her was just through Reddit, through like biggest unsolved mysteries, because I'm on Reddit all the time, biggest unsolved mysteries threads, and I see her face popped up all the time. So people from all over the world know about this lady. And no one has come forward with any information.
No one said a word.
Isn't that crazy?
What?
Maybe she was like injured when she was very young.
Yeah, and that's like what I'm wondering.
And then she like never left the house except for she was well taken care of. And then some shit went down and kidnapped by a stepfather.
Uncle.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's true.
Like, what if she had been a shut-in and so no one could claim her?
Exactly.
No one had seen her.
Because, I mean, if her teeth rotted down, like, you'd think that if she was able to leave her home, and she looks like an adult, like, she looks like a full grown-ass woman.
Yeah, they theorized that she was 40 to 50.
Yeah, I mean, like, a 40 to 50-year-old woman, if she was out and about, like, she would be able to be like, I'm gonna go to the dentist. But we also don't know
if she was held captive.
Well, or if she had some sort of, I mean, especially if she had a brain injury or a neck injury, mm-hmm. she could have maybe not had her full capacities. So maybe she just didn't know that she could call 911 or scream or whatever. And then she was held captive.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
I want to know who she is.
I know. I so badly want to know now.
She seems like a Gina.
Maybe she's a Gina.
She could be a Gina.
Anyone who has any information on missing Ginas in the United States of America in the early 90s.
Please call us.
618. Just kidding.
Don't.
I do that all the time.
Don't do it. Sweet Lord, that's weird.
Remember, we should mention this on this episode. This unsolved mystery that happened to me a couple weeks ago. So I get a book in the mail, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's from a Michael Johnston. Johnston or Johnston?
Johnston.
Johnston.
Yeah.
And the book is by an author I don't know. And the inscription, it's signed by the author. And it says, Ashley, be careful what scary stories you tell at night or something like that. It's like written in red. And I was like, what the fuck? And I knew it had, but it said Michael Johnston, New York City. It was sent from New York City. So obviously I'm like, okay, well, it's a listener of the show.
Yeah.
How did he get my address?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? I was freaking out. Freaking out. It's fucking Mike Johnston. I've never called him Michael once in my entire life. One, two, I thought just he still lived click. In LA. So it did not click with me at all. It's our he's been on the show.
Yeah, he was a guest. He was on the Hometown Michigan.
Home. He's been in my house. Like, he's
on the Hometown Michigan Haunts episode.
It did not click with me. And I was literally, eventually I messaged him on Instagram. I was like, did you send me a book? And he was like, yeah, did you get it? It's my friend. And I was like, oh, thank God. Oh, my God.
Hilarious about all of this.
I spent like 5 hours like losing my mind because I
thought
someone knew my
address. It could have been easily solved if I was a good friend and wanted to warn Ashley that the book was coming because I knew about it all along. And Mike did say he wanted it to be a surprise, like that he was sending the book, because at first he tried not to even tell me. He was just like, what is your address? What's Ashley's address? And I was like, what? Are you sending us a bomb? Like asking him all these questions. So he finally says that I'm sending you a book, but don't tell Ashley. I think it'll be a fun surprise. But I could have.
You could have said
at least been like, expect a package in the mail. It might be from New York. That's all I'm saying. Like I could have found a way around it. But instead, you thought a murderer sent you a book.
It's okay. It was an exciting 5 hours.
Well, I mean, did you, if you, Lauren, I pointed at you, which listeners cannot hear me point.
Correct.
They know.
If you knew that Ashley over here on my other side was freaking out and didn't tell her.
No, I didn't know she was freaking out.
Yeah, see, then you're fine. You're in
she
the
was
clear.
Freaking out
then,
silently.
Then you were just like, oh, Ashley is getting a lovely surprise, as opposed to, I'm going to make Ashley spend thousands of dollars on a security system and make Joe quit his job so he can be her bodyguard.
That's very true. If I had known you were having a panic attack, but you were just suffering in silence. I had no idea this was going on.
I didn't tell you till afterwards.
Yeah. You're like, also, by the way, I got Mike's book.
Ashley's address is 10...
10...
Eight.
No. I like to give so away close. All my private information.
Pretty soon you're gonna have to get a P.O. box.
Pretty soon.
But you should get it on the other side of the city.
Yeah.
So that people don't know that you live in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Get it in another state. Get it in Michigan.
Yeah. Michigan. And then some like old man check it and send me my stuff.
I don't trust that old guy. I don't even know who
he is.
About
you
to
can't
die.
Trust
probably
anybody.
Some white guy, and you know how I feel about white men.
No,
I don't
I won't
like
choose a white
them.
Man.
Never.
Yeah.
They can't be trusted.
Never. Never. They're the worst. Except for all other men are also the worst.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I won't choose a man.
Yeah. Choose a
cat.
It can only
Michigan.
Be a cat.
Cats are worse than men.
Do you love
you
dick?
Like their, they've,
you love
they've,
dick. You know?
They've really got that, what is it, big dick energy?
Big dick
they've
energy.
Got that big
cats
dick energy.
Do have big dick energy for sure.
For sure.
But, so anyways, that story was what made me want to do an Unsolved Mysteries episode.
Oh, yes.
So we've got some crazy ones today. And Lauren's going to start us off with one that... Okay, so here's the thing. She wanted to do this story. And I was like, everyone knows that story, right? And then she was like, I don't know. I feel like maybe we just know the story because we're fucking weird.
Yeah.
So we like did a survey. Like I asked you about it. She asked
like
five
I
of
told
her friends.
I go text
and everyone
Amy.
Was like, never heard about it. And I was like, all right, we're just weird. It's
fine. I wanted her to especially ask you since you were coming on and I didn't want you both to have heard of it. And then I took a poll of about 6 people and 2 of them had heard of it, but both said, I haven't looked into the story in a really long time. I would like to hear more. And everyone else was like, who? What? So I was like, I think we're safe. So I have been so excited to do this mystery. It's so weird. I'm going to pronounce all the things wrong because
that's
it's
okay.
A Russian story. But it's called the Dyatlov Pass mystery. Could be Dyatlov Pass. I'm not positive. So
this is America.
No
it's
one knows.
Dyatlov.
For sure.
Dyatlov. Dyatlov Pass mystery. Here we go.
Famke Janssen.
This is. You're the worst. Okay. So back in 1959, a group of 10 hikers was making their way on an expedition through the northern Ural Mountains in Russia. They were led by Igor Dyatlov, who the mountain pass is named after today. And it was a group of mostly students from the Ural Polytechnic Institute, just a few hundred miles away. They were all experienced hikers, knew all the ins and outs. They knew the weather was going to be terrible. They were prepared for it all. They wanted to do this trip. They knew what they were in for. So the original plan was for all 10 of these hikers to go up the mountain, but one of their team members did have to stay behind, unfortunately, due to falling ill. His name was Yuri Yudin. I'm saying his name because he will come up later. Yuri Yudin stayed behind in the last little village before you get up to like the frickin' middle of nowhere on this mountain where there's just nothing. So he stayed behind, unfortunate at the time, only to discover, lucky frickin' him, that he didn't go up this mountain. Shit. So the rest of the 9 hikers made their dangerous trek in negative 30 degree weather.
Okay.
Up this mountain called Kolat Siaikul. No, that's not correct, but I said it that way.
No, that's not right.
Like, we know any better.
I know. Like,
Famke Janssen.
Yeah, nobody who's listening knows, so don't worry about it.
So this Kolat Siaikul mountain, which the indigenous...
It sounds
like I'm saying cycle with a heavy, heavy Chicago accent.
Just like
cycle.
That
is not how we sound.
I know, I'm offended.
That is
even.
Not how we
I
sound.
I said an extreme Chicago accent.
Fuck you guys, because you guys in your weird fucking your thin ass pizza and you. Oh, I only put ketchup on my hot dog. We put a goddamn salad on top of it.
I do love Chicago hot dogs.
You guys are
right.
The dumbos who just you put ketchup on your hot dogs like a couple of communists. Anyway. Speaking of communists, you were saying diet love pass.
Yes. So I'm not going to say that name again, but the indigenous, the Mansi people are the native people to this area. And in Mansi language, the name of this mountain translates to dead mountain.
Great.
So cool.
Sounds safe.
So the hikers were originally heading for a different mountain about 7 miles away from Dead Mountain called Gora or Totin, which is translated more or less to don't go there in Mansi.
Oh,
I'm not even
well.
Kidding. Or do not pass or do not enter. It's kind of loosely translated to those.
Do you think that the people who were on this little trip knew that the indigenous people were like, this is like shit we don't fuck with?
I think so. And I think they just thought, I'm up for this challenge. Let's fucking do it.
I don't know. Ugh. It's like the lost. It's like Jurassic Park, The Lost World, where the islands were called the Seven Deaths.
Yep.
Something Morte.
You know what you're getting
it's
into.
It's not Siete.
What? Which one is Lost World?
That's the second one with Vince Vaughn. And
oh yeah, I didn't
Julianne
see that.
Moore,
I don't know
right?
why
it's so great.
I don't know why I asked
you
which one. You
haven't seen any Jurassic Park besides
I saw
the
first one, and the first one's so good.
Oh, the original's amazing, and then the second best one is The Lost World because it's still Steven Spielberg, and it's also still like not CGI. It's
and
still
Julianne
like
Moore
practical
and Vince
effects.
Vaughn are in it.
Julianne
can't go wrong.
Moore's in it. Vince Vaughn's in it.
Vince Vaughn's really hit or miss. You can totally go wrong with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, you absolutely
you can.
You can totally go wrong with Vince Vaughn is a poem that I'm working on, actually.
It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. What's
no, but Vince was great in Lost World.
Vince was great in Lost World because it was like swingers Vince Vaughn, not like wedding crashers Vince Vaughn.
Not like chubby, snarky.
Snarky, yeah. He plays like a photographer or something. Mm-hmm. I think he's a photographer.
I think so.
That's it also has Pete Postlethwaite and
who's that?
Pete Postlethwaite. He's the guy that plays the priest in Romeo plus Juliet.
You'd recognize him if
you
would
totally recognize
him. Oh, yeah, the
guy.
I do like him. That character actor who every time he's in something, I'm like, I like that guy.
He's
I like him
in
everything.
He plays like the bad guy in The Lost World. And do you want to watch The Lost World tonight?
No.
Yeah, she does.
No, thank you.
I would rather watch Blade 3, which
oh,
I've still
God.
Never seen. I've never seen Blade Trinity. Jesus. Ashley and I watched the first two Blades in college, and I was like, we should watch the third one. And she went, no.
She did that to me, too. She showed me the first... A couple years back, she showed me the first two, and I was like, this is great. How does it end? And she was like, nope. And we just never watched the third
one.
It
sounds like I'm a guy who just like serial dates women and you
really?
Guys are my exes who've like found out this thing about me. Like she also said that to me once. She also
We're
called me
the
honey bear. Anyway,
she also used to draw me, and she told me that I had the prettiest eyelashes in the world.
Did she draw you?
Because she did.
You know what?
She
compliments my eyelashes. You have drawn me. That's true. And I've drawn you, and it wasn't good.
No, I'm not mad at Lauren. Ashley.
Yeah, point the anger at the right person.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
We're going off the rails. Okay, so
Diet Love Pass is basically Jurassic Park: The Lost World. Go
yeah,
on.
So the Mansi people are giving these hikers a warning with these mountain names, but they trek on anyway.
Cool.
It's really great. So they set out on this journey on January 27th, and then on the night of February 2nd, 1959, they set up camp on the eastern side of Shmishma, that we're going to call Dead Mountain now, because once we found out that nickname, the other one went out the window. So they're still 7 miles from their goal, the other mountain, but they're on Dead Mountain. They were worried about weather and thought it best to stop for the night.
Good idea.
And the reason that we know all of these details of their travel plans, we're not just assuming anything, is because there was a daily log kept, a little diary, a journal by a couple of members of the group that was later found. So we know kind of their day to day and what was going on. And also 4 different cameras were recovered that all had film on them and pictures of them.
What year was this again?
On the trip, 1959.
Thank you.
So that's how we know the details, just to kind of side that. So yeah. They decide to stop for the night, set up their campsite. The pictures that have been recovered for the night show the hikers seem to be very happy leading up to this point. They're all smiling, giggling in their pictures, having a good time. The journal says how well everybody got along. There wasn't a lot of competition between anyone on the trip. It was mostly boys. There were 2 girls on the trip. No one was like hooking up. Everyone was just having fun.
They were all in it together.
People were totally hooking
up. They probably were hooking up.
I'm sorry. If I was on that trip, I'd be like, I'd be
getting
it.
You had to keep warm somehow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Be like, this could be my last day.
Those are really strong odds. It doesn't matter. True. Like, what is it called? Sea goggles? Okay. So when you are in the military, like if you're in the Navy, they call it sea goggles, where any girl that you see is super hot because you've been on a ship.
It's like beer goggles.
Yeah, exactly. And there's like 9 women on the ship. And then even the ugliest, most disgusting woman, they're like, all just let me get it with that toothless girl.
Yeah, and then you get on land and you're like, what was I thinking?
You're like, oh shit, yeah. I want to get myself into.
And people who live by the sea are just better looking than people in landlocked areas.
That is very true.
Because they get to be tan and they work out on the beach and they do yoga and they take lots of selfies.
You're so right.
I know.
You're so right about beach towns.
Especially in 1959. So many selfies.
Yeah.
All the selfies.
Absolutely.
Everybody was taking them.
Everyone.
Anyway.
Sticks. Having a good time.
So yes,
no
they were having
fucking
a good time. Then on this fateful night, February 2nd, sometime between setting up the tent and then getting ready to prepare for dinner, these hikers experienced something terrible. And they all very sadly passed away on this night, every single one. Besides the fact that they all froze to death and suffered severe hypothermia, to this day, their deaths are mysterious. The circumstances surrounding the evening are even more mysterious. And we're about to dive in. So after the hikers did not return or send a promised telegram at the end of January, investigators were sent up shortly after the 2nd to look for them. They were baffled by the scene they discovered. It made no sense at all. The tent had been ripped open from the inside, torn apart from someone who was on the inside, not an outside force. And clearly the hikers had escaped in a big hurry. All of their gear was left behind. Most of their clothing was left behind. Their boots, their skis, their sleeping bag, everything was left behind as if it was like the end of the world and they just had to get out. So they find about 8 or 9 tracks of footprints, which would make sense. There were 9 of them on this trip. They think that it was just the 8 or 9. So no outside person was with them. No animal footprints were there. It's just their 8 or 9 footprints. Some were barefoot. Some were in socks. And some with only 1 shoe on and 1 shoe off.
So it was
they
had to get out.
They didn't
fast.
Even have time to get their shoes.
It is just like the Lost World.
-30 degrees.
So you know you are running from something if you're in your bare
feet. Yeah, because you would have frostbite in minutes.
Yeah. You'd lose take no your time foot. At all. Exactly. So, Jesus. Yeah, these footprints that they find of just the crew, they're either barefoot with socks or some of them only had one shoe on, one shoe off. So clearly these people were getting out in a hurry. They didn't even have time to open their tent properly.
Yeah,
it
if
was
you don't
ripped
have time
open.
For a zipper.
Right. Just ripped to shreds. So they made it about a mile away from the campsite to a very dense forest, and this is where the first two bodies were discovered. It was two men in nothing but their underwear lying dead near the remains of a fire. Next, there were two bodies found in between the forest and the campsite, showing that two of the hikers actually tried to make it back from the forest to the campsite, is what they assumed by the way the bodies were positioned and the way the tracks had gone. They went to the forest with the other members of the team, but then tried to get back. So maybe they realized with whatever was happening, it was somehow safe to go back to the site. And they died halfway there in the snow. Nothing super crazy about the bodies other than, again, that they clearly froze to death, didn't last very long at all. Let's see. They died of hypothermia, barely clothed. The autopsies of these four bodies did not conclude there was any foul play, simply hypothermia. Then 2 months later, after this investigation has been going on, the four other bodies are finally found pretty close, actually, to where the first two were discovered, but just a little deeper in a ravine and buried under more snow. These bodies appeared to have suffered being crushed or experiencing large amounts of pressure to the body. From the outside, the bodies didn't look crazy messed up. There were no, like, not a ton of scars or, like, they had been hacked or ripped right. to shreds. But their internal injuries showed that there had been some sort of brutal force that crushed their bones. Some of them even looked like they had been hit by a car, like they'd been in a horrible car accident, just judging by their internal injuries.
And it wasn't an avalanche.
Well, that is one of the theories, but it really seems unlikely because their tent was still found and the bodies weren't very deeply buried. Only the ones at this ravine were a little bit buried, but the other bodies were sitting on top
of
snow and the footprints were still there.
Oh, that's true.
I know. So that's why it's crazy. The really crazy thing about these people who were found in the ravine was there were small traces of radiation found on the clothing on these bodies. A very small trace. Not on the bodies themselves, but on the clothing. And some of the clothing on these four bodies was taken from the two men found in their underwear by the tree, as if they realized their friend hikers were dead. And they're like, let's at least take their clothes so we can try to survive. So they took the extra layers, and these clothes had radiation on them. Why? I have no idea.
Because aliens, obviously.
Because aliens. There was one really messed up person. It was one of the females. Her bones were very crushed as well, and a piece of her skull was missing when they were looking at the tissue on the inside. But externally, she was the only one that exhibited something wrong with her on the outside. Her tongue was ripped out of her mouth, and she had damage to her eyeballs.
No!
As if someone tried to take them out, too.
Ugh.
People have tried to explain this away as an animal took her tongue after she died, but the investigators felt this just wasn't right, and it seemed as if this had happened prior to the freezing, just judging by her injuries. So no one is for sure on that, but she had her freaking tongue ripped out. That's all.
This is some Blair Witch shit right here.
I'm telling
you. Holy crap.
I'm telling you.
Quick query. Yeah.
Polar bears?
Are there polar bears?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Not this high.
So
up.
It's not. Oh, yeah. I forget that it's in
the
mountains.
They like hang around that's glaciers. Not, and
they do. It has to be. Well, I don't know.
They drink Coca-Cola and they float on glaciers.
I regret. I do feel like there are polar bears in northern Russia.
Yeah.
But I don't know
where
this
takes place. I don't think they'd be up that high. Yeah, I mean,
they would not be
up that
high.
Maybe there could be. I don't know.
I forgot we were in the mountains.
We're up in some crazy-ass mountains.
All this out.
I will.
Hey,
no one's going to
hear a
word of
this. There's obviously no polar bears over there because this is way too elevated. And polar bears aren't going to be there.
They're on glaciers.
Drinking Coca-Cola for those bears.
Ashley thought that.
Ashley, what a terrible theory.
Okay. All right, this isn't fun anymore. I was having fun.
I quit.
Imagine this podcast.
I quit the show. I quit the show. We're done here. So this went on for a couple months only because they didn't find those other bodies until 2 months later. But once every body was discovered and went through the autopsy, the results of the investigation actually very quickly became classified. They wrapped it up. Said, we're closing all this information to the public. Our conclusion that we're giving out to you is, and I quote, It was a compelling force of nature that the hikers could not overcome. That was the official statement they gave the public just to shut everyone up, to give them something, and then they classified every piece of evidence that they found. What the fuck? It's so vague. The thing
is, like, if this had taken place over, say, a week or a month's time,
yeah,
that would make more sense because these people, you know, when you're in seclusion for long enough, especially in like an extreme environment, mm-hmm. you can start to hallucinate. You can start to have like group hallucinations. Sure. You can start to turn on each other if you're hungry or if you're, you know, you get too cold or you get too high up. But the fact that this was like in the evening, they had dinner and had a good time and like left notes in their journal and took pictures. And by the next day, all of this had taken place, essentially.
They're all scattered around. They're all dead. They had to get out of their tent quickly. Like, how? What? Yeah. How did that happen so fast?
So I know that like when you get hypothermia, sometimes you take off your clothing.
Yes. And that is a theory that investigators have pointed out of like, it's not that weird they were in their underwear because right. they could have been. It's called paradoxical undressing when your body starts to tell you that you're hot even though you are freezing cold and about to die. So those men could have taken their clothes off and then maybe that's when the other hikers were like, well, shit, we'll take these clothes.
Yeah, how experienced were these hikers?
Very experienced. I mean, they had been on trips
before.
Would
know about yes. and might be able to... Because like me, I don't know shit about shit. So if I'm on a mountain and I'm freezing and I feel really hot, I would take off my clothes. But I feel like an experienced hiker,
I think your brain is turning into mush.
Yeah, that's like true. If you know how to swim, if you were drowning, you're like, oh, if I was drowning, I would not try and fight anybody that's who true. Saved me. But the thing is, yes, you would. It's human yeah. nature. You it's cannot help it. It's what you would do.
That's
you
true.
Would even drown me, even though you love me.
Oh, it's horrible.
I wouldn't want to, but I'd have to.
I'd have to kill you.
You
couldn't stand up. It was a 6-foot deep pool.
I'm only 5'6".
So we're left 5'6".
I'm only 5'6". What do you want from me?
What do you want? So we're left with that in 1959, totally classified information. However, 30 years later, in the early 90s, the files of this investigation were finally declassified and opened up to the public. You can even find them online and read through. But there still is not enough there to explain the happenings, even with the evidence we're given. And there are pages missing from the results that are online, which, again, people try to have an explanation for everything. They say, you know, these files were put away for decades. Things got lost in the shuffle. It happens all the time. Pages go missing and they're just unaccounted for. What can you do? Yes, I would accept that if the situation wasn't so fucking weird, and you hadn't classified it so quickly and out of the blue and given us this strangely vague answer. So that is why it strikes up with me. It brings a little bit of a red flag when they say, oh, but there were some pages missing. So
no big deal.
Part that's missing, or else they decide just not to put in the evidence, there's no complete analysis of the internal organs. They talk about the bones being crushed, but we have no idea what happened to their internal organs.
Or if they were even there.
Yeah. Were their organs gone? Did they experience radiation? You know, I have so many questions about what was going inside besides the fact that their bones were crushed, which is bonkers, but there could be so much more to this story. So you can read the files online, but it still makes people go into a tailspin with theories and conspiracies, and you could just go on and on because it really just brings up more questions than answers. So I just wanted to talk about some of the popular theories that are going around with this. The most popular that people go for, and these are people with no imagination that don't want to go towards the paranormal in any way, that say it was probably a natural cause like a wild animal attack or an avalanche. But there were no tracks of anyone but the hikers in the snow. Mm-hmm. So unless there was some sort of hovering wolf creature, I don't know what animal could have attacked them. Why didn't we see footprints? And the avalanche kind of has the same explanation.
Yeah.
Why did we see footprints? Why weren't their bodies completely buried under snow?
Tent?
Why was the tent there?
Yeah.
Also, were still there.
Who gets nude for an avalanche?
Who is nude? That's the other thing. If they
also,
were suspecting,
you can't outrun an avalanche.
You can't. And if they were suspecting an avalanche was coming, like I think they still, if they had heard some rumbling, I just feel like they still would have grabbed some things, right? I don't know that you would have sprinted. Maybe you would. I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not obviously a trained hiker, but I feel like if I just heard rumblings, you can't outrun an avalanche. Yeah, there's really nothing you can do, but I would still run, even though I would know that there was nothing I could. It's like how Ashley's gonna drown me.
That's true.
It's just
you
human
don't know
nature.
What the body
you know
gonna
it's
do.
Gonna happen, but you're not gonna not swim
nothing.
With me.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so hot here.
Hop in the pool.
Yeah, California so hot here is right so hot. I
also
have to swim
like
with
if
you.
The penguins from Happy Feet can't outrun an avalanche, like no one can.
And they're penguins,
no
and they swim
and they're
in
penguins,
ice water.
And
they
surf.
Know how to handle that.
And
shit.
And they know how to surf.
They could have surfed down the avalanche.
Have you seen the documentary Happy Feet?
I'm That's, actually getting
yeah,
too
you're thinking
confused.
Of March of the Penguins.
No, I'm thinking no Happy
Feet. Happy Feet's like the cartoon.
Yes, it's a documentary.
It's a documentary about singing penguins.
I mean, with that
right.
They sing.
Wait, is
Stevie
that the
Wonder.
Damn it, Lauren. I know, I'm sorry. I thought I would have gone with the joke if I hadn't thought she was thinking of March of the Penguins with Morgan Freeman narrating.
And in your defense, after I said that, I was like, oh shit, there's also a real penguin documentary.
That's like, I was trying to like hurry up and apologize for Ashley, but you guys were all on the same page except
well,
for me.
I also got confused because there's Happy Feet and there's Surf's Up. And
Surf's
Up
those
has
are the
actual
surfing
penguins.
Penguins.
And Happy Feet has a scene where they kind of surf down an avalanche.
Right. Okay, well.
So, I don't know if that helps.
Penguin,
with this,
this actually helps my theories for this
good.
Episode.
Have fun editing this podcast.
I actually think you should leave every
I'm not
garbage
editing.
Don't edit
said.
It at all.
Yeah, don't take anything
I'm
out.
Gonna
it's amazing.
I'm going to sneeze right into this mic and you will leave it in. You leave it in.
You leave it in. God damn it.
God damn it.
So animal attack seems to be out. Avalanche seems to be out because nothing was more buried. And then another popular theory going along the lines of attack is
aliens.
Maybe an outside human.
Oh. We will. Okay, I'm so
Ashley,
sorry. I am
we
so
have
sorry.
Things to get to. We're on the boring theories first, remember?
Okay, for
okay.
Sure, for
she
sure, for
specifically
sure.
said that.
Thank you, Amy.
I don't like this.
We already decided we were soul sisters.
We're soul
it's
sisters.
Coming out now. Okay, so then the other theory was maybe it was an outside human attack from the Mansi people who we mentioned
before.
Yeah,
I thought that too.
But again, no extra footprints, and most of the bodies found did not experience an outside physical struggle before they froze to death. Even the bodies that were found closer to the campsite didn't have those internal crushing bone injuries. They just straight up died because they were frozen.
Yeah.
So it was only the people that made it to the ravine.
And
so,
even the people that made it to the ravine, they had like internal bone crushing injuries and they had like no external scratches.
They
cuts.
Looked fine besides tongue out McGee, but
well,
otherwise.
Also, if I were indigenous and I was like, oh, chill, it's 1959 and I found a sleeping bag, I'm going to fucking take that sleeping bag.
Yes.
I'm going to take that tent. I'm going to take them socks.
Right. They didn't steal or rummage through anything.
Oh, that's
so,
true.
Yeah, that's a great. That's another great explanation. So no one was slashed or scratched or seemed to be attacked. So that kind of puts out the Mansi people. So then the more interesting theories come into play that could quite possibly be about aliens.
Finally, aliens. I wanted to say it.
I want to say aliens. So a man named Lev Ivanov, a former public prosecutor, took a great interest in this case. We love you, Lev. He released an article in 1990, right around the time when more files were getting released and it kind of reopened everyone talking about this.
Yeah.
And he stated that there was a strange energetic force at play in the Ural Mountains in 1959.
Ooh.
There had been sightings by other hikers on other areas that could see up into the area that is now the Dyatlov Pass. There had been sightings of strange lit up orbs flying across the sky just a few days before February 2nd. Some say this could have been Soviet rocket or missile testing going on, while others believe it looked like something paranormal or some sort of ship that could have been carrying friends from across the universe.
That's what I call them.
Not friends.
Probably
they were
friends.
Enemies.
Bone crushers.
Yeah.
They were bone crushers.
They were bone crushing, tongue stealing bastards.
Yeah, with friends like these. Jeez Louise.
Those questions rise up. Were there alien visitors flying across the sky watching these hikers? Did they leave some sort of radiating crazy force behind, or was it them themselves that came and attacked and ripped out tongues? Or was it indeed Russian missile testing or any kind of Russian experimenting and testing, and they left something behind that wasn't supposed to be touched or tampered with?
You mean like clothing? Because it was only their clothing. It wasn't their skin or their bodies.
I know. But could they have left something behind that the hikers then like touched and then got radiation, or it's something that made them freak the fuck out because the Russians were like, oh, we have a secret lab up in the mountains. And it made them kill each other.
And then they left a radioactive sweater.
Yes.
And then somebody put it on. They put it on. And then they were
ripped the tent open and wanted to murder their friends.
Oh my God. Wait, is one of the possibilities that somebody became the Hulk?
No, well, it is now. You just added that theory.
Oh, you guys, I bet that it is somebody.
You just put all of the ingredients
but
together.
But it's like the Ed Norton version.
It's so valid.
Yeah, because if it was Mark Ruffalo, we'd be able to talk some sense into him.
We could really calm him down, you know.
Yeah.
Edward Norton's, he is.
The sun is setting.
Yeah.
The sun is setting on
the sun
Edward
is going
Norton.
Down.
Poor guy.
Remember when he was talented?
Oh. Yeah, we miss it. We miss it so much.
We miss it. Primal Fear.
Oh my gosh.
I never saw that.
It's great.
What? It's so good.
And I know it's the one everyone says, but Fight Club. He was so phenomenal.
He was great in Fight Club. He was great in that movie where he was a Nazi.
Oh my God.
Oh,
American History X.
History X.
You're right.
So good with him and then
crazy.
And Ed Furlong.
Oh my gosh. That movie's so good.
The greatest actor of our generation.
The worst. The
greatest.
John Connor of all time.
He was not a good
including Christian Bale, who was terrible as John Connor.
But who was the best John Connor?
I'm John Connor. I'm a really good Batman. I mean, I'm John Connor. That's my
But here's the thing. If we didn't have Christian Bale John Connor, we wouldn't have Christian Bale's freak out audio.
Ooh,
which
is
not
best.
Worth it.
Totally worth it.
It's so worth it.
I did
it's
not
so
need that video or audio clip to know
kidding?
That he's an asshole. Were you like,
it was worth it because it's fucking useless
good for
now.
You guys really remember it. I do not remember
it. I listened to it so many times. And I still don't really think he's an asshole. I'm kind of like, I get it.
That
lighting guy messed up his life.
Well,
but he is also an asshole because I think
he
punched his mom in the face or something.
Also,
it was like a whole thing.
Also, Welsh people, they're just like a whole other level.
They are an entirely
new
species.
They're like all the craziness of British people where everything is like, oh, let me keep it all inside. But then also Irish people where they're like, let me just fight everybody. Mm. And then they mix it together and you can't understand anything that they say. And I think that that really like
creates
makes them
monster.
Angry because they're just like, oh, I can't get them. And then you're like, I don't know what
I
you just
know.
Said. Were you speaking Welsh? And like, no, it's English. And I'm just name singing. And then
that impression is gold.
You finally figure out that what they wanted is a pack of cigarettes.
Bad
is this
combo.
Racist? Can you be racist against white people?
I'll cut it out.
Okay,
no,
good.
You can't. There's no.
Also, you cannot
reverse.
Be racist against white
There's
people.
There's no such thing as reverse racism.
Okay, so Russian government theories, alien theories, anything that could have brought along some crazy energy or some radiation. However, even though these theories are a little more fun and we like to think, what if this crazy thing happened? There still is such a lack of evidence that anything was dropped in this area, that any kind of experiment was going on. No one is exactly sure of the dates these orbs went overhead. There are a couple reports from hikers, but it could have been a couple weeks before. It could have been a couple days before. There's just nothing really concrete or solid about any of that. But it's really weird. Then there is this theory called the infrasound theory.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty crazy town USA.
Oh, I don't know it.
I can't wait to tell you. So it's weird. Author Donnie Eicher proposed in his 2013 book, Dead Mountain, The Untold True Story, says that the skiers may have been driven to hysteria by infrasound waves caused by a weather phenomenon. I cannot speak.
Phenomenon
known as Karman Vortex Street. In simplest forms, In simplest terms,
get it together.
I'm drunk. A Karman vortex street is an oscillating pattern that emerges when a fluid or gas, in this instance it was wind, flows around a suitably shaped object, which could have been the mountain. When they occur on such a large scale, these wind patterns can generate very low frequency sound waves when hitting the right object.
Right.
So this phenomenon has been blamed for harmful physiological and psychological symptoms in human beings. According to a 2001 review of medical literature by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, these symptoms can range from annoyance and frustration to fatigue and nausea. So Eicher wrote this book arguing that this phenomenon may have occurred under extremely high wind conditions around Dead Mountain the night of the incident, and the resulting bombardment of the skiers by these infrasound waves induced the panic and the having to escape and the leaving without anything to flee to safety and get away from these sound waves. But there are a ton of what ifs in this. I mean, everything would have to be perfect with the wind and the mountain for this to happen. It's definitely possible to produce these sound effects. However, acoustic scientists are far from being positive that the effects of infrasound exposure can be as bad as they're saying. The symptoms are probably mild at best, and they have no idea if extreme panic could ever come out of it.
You know that in like modern day horror movies, they insert infrasound into the soundtracks, and it actually does have an effect on people. It's that low, like, boom.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
that low, like,
and it's
weird
what makes
hum.
You stressed,
and it's what makes you, like, without you even knowing it's happening, it makes your heartbeat go faster.
Right.
So maybe the wind, if that was, you know, too out there, that like the conditions could be absolutely perfect. There was also radiation found on their clothes.
Right.
So what if it was like a top secret Russian experiment with infrasound
totally
to make these people to see what happened? Yeah, to see what happened to these people if they blasted them with infrasound and they watched them tear each other apart,
rip each other to shreds.
Is this the same thing as the Tesla oscillating poop platform?
Unfortunately, it's not.
It's
Did
not.
Any of them poop themselves?
I don't think any of them shit themselves.
I didn't
but...
mean like were they pooping. I more meant is it the same?
It definitely
phenomenon.
Could be,
theory,
or at least very similar.
Because if Tesla was able to make Mark Twain want to poop, you would think, and that was, you know, this was what, 30, 40 years later.
Uh-huh.
Maybe somebody had the same technology and they were like, I don't need people to poop their pants. I need people to
rip their tongue.
No, maybe they were like, I'm assuming that they were not trying to make people go insane, because it's like, what's the good in that? But maybe mind control.
Sure.
And then it went terribly wrong. And then they were like, oh, we crushed this guy's bones. Bummer.
We better get out of here.
We better drop them off of our platform, because that's the only way they could do it. They have to be on a platform because there's no footprints.
Oh,
my theory doesn't work because it involves humans.
Well, I was gonna say, if it was the same technology, but like Tesla's technology made you feel good, remember, and made you poop, but like made you feel good.
Pooping feels good.
Pooping does feel good. It like cleansed you.
Yeah.
So this is literally just the inverse of that, where it makes you feel everything bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there could be, you know, you could definitely, there have been, I mean, I don't know if there has been instances where people have used drugs on people to see how they are affected, to see what they do, and the end result, they do think it's going to make them crazy. They do think it's going to make them fight each other. And the end result is thinking, like, how can we infect an entire army with this? We don't even have to shoot any bullets. All we have to do is make them kill each other.
Right.
Yeah, they've, like, definitely done that in warfare.
Yeah,
it's like, now it's against the Geneva Convention, but they totally have to... God, what did they... I don't remember. There was some people that they made some army all kill each other.
Uh-huh. Well, they did it. That was one of the projects in when the NSA or the CIA, when they gave them acid.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That was to get them to kill each other? I thought
it was basically just seeing they were seeing what the effects
they
had on each other. But they definitely, you know, they weren't going in being like, maybe they'll make friends.
Right.
Maybe they'll maybe it'll make buddies. Them fun at parties.
Maybe they're going to go to Woodstock and be like, dress. "This is so good. I'm
this
so
is
glad.
So good. I'm so glad. It's
I'm
like,
so
now
glad
we
I'm
know.
At this music. They the CIA invented music festivals.
Yeah, to test accidentally the acid and the LSD.
What yeah. a beautiful result.
Anyways.
So infrasound is definitely a theory, and it's plausible. We just don't know enough. There's just a lot of what ifs, and was everything perfect?
Out.
But hey, it's something to throw out there. Then I have one last final note, which I actually just found out. This is very recent. I just found it today and had to add it to my notes. So on April 12th, 2018, guys.
Excuse me?
The body of one of the hiking members named Semyon Zolotarev was exhumed at the request of some Russian journalists looking for an answer.
Shut up!
The body has some very strange and contradicting reports. The DNA was tested of Semyon, but it does not match any of the DNA of his living relatives. However, his skull shape and features are pretty much identical to the last photos ever taken of him before he died. So they believe that the skull looks enough like his to say it's him, but the DNA doesn't match any of his relatives. So that was very bizarre.
Was he adopted secretly?
Could be. There's lots of things there. So that was very bizarre.
Well, if he had children, then...
Oh, he had children.
He did.
Did he?
At least one, maybe two. But because I know there are definitely grandchildren.
Did the kids look like the milkman?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. His wife could have cheated on him.
Totally.
But
might not be
what
kids,
if it
but...
was like, remember when the twin went up into space and his
yep,
DNA
and
was
his DNA
different
got messed up.
Than his twin on Earth after he had been in space?
Yes.
That story was crazy. I forgot about
it
that.
It eventually went back. But his
did
DNA, after he was in space, his DNA actually stretched.
Uh-huh.
And it became different from his twin brother, who,
right.
you know, when he
who
went
was
up
was like
into space,
the control group.
But wasn't he up in space for a really long time?
He was.
2 years?
Yeah. I mean, like, these true. People, if they went up into space, if the aliens came and they got him, they would have been in space for less than a week.
Mm-hmm.
His
depends.
DNA couldn't have changed. Oh, wait, maybe
time
it's
travel.
Space-time.
Space-time.
Oh. Space time. You're right. I'm such an idiot. This could have been space time.
Lauren.
There's more to this guy.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, my
so
God.
So that was
okay.
what was found in 2018. And they're still testing. This is still an ongoing investigation because they recently just found a niece of his. And they're like, let's try this. But so that is 2018. But also, once his body was exhumed and they started looking into him again, they started to kind of look at the history. What was going on when his body was found originally in 1959? When his body was found and his family came to, you know, confirm that it was him, there was a tattoo on his arm that his family members did not remember. Maybe he had gotten it since he'd seen his family. He had been gone for a long time. He had been fighting in the war, but it still raises a little bit of a red flag paired with what we know now with the
yeah.
DNA that they didn't recognize the tattoo. Also, he was the most dressed out of everyone, still wearing several layers when he was found. He also had a camera around his neck when he was found, and there were four cameras left behind in the tent because clearly everyone was trying to leave quickly and not grabbing cameras. And then we come back to Yuri, who was the man that stayed in the village behind. He was interviewed after all the bodies were found, and he said, it's very strange that there was a fifth camera found around Semyon's neck because there had only been four known cameras on the trip. We intentionally brought the four for our research and documentation, and the fifth camera must have been hiding the entire time. So why was there this hidden fifth camera, and why was it around Semyon's neck when he was fleeing the campsite?
What? Oh, boy.
There are also
okay.
rumors from fellow soldiers who were in the war with Semyon that he went missing during the war and was never accounted for when the soldiers came home. He may have never returned to his base, and someone decided to assume his identity. So that's a theory that's floating around as well,
jeez.
But it has not been officially confirmed. There's more testing to be done. The investigation is still opened. They're going to do more DNA analysis with his body. So we will get some more results as 2018 goes on. It might be a match with this niece that came out of nowhere. Might be nothing. It might be something. Lots of questions in the air, but he is a very fishy guy. And that is the mystery of Diet Love Pass.
Wait. But I have a question about the camera. What
yeah.
about the fifth camera? Were they able to get any of the film developed?
They couldn't because
it was
so destroyed
oh.
from... being frozen and covered in snow.
Even, okay, I'm sorry. We put a man on the moon, what, like 60 years
ago? Did we?
Well, okay, you're valid. Valid.
Did
okay,
we, though?
But so 50 years ago, we were able to very convincingly fake that we put a man on the moon. And you're telling me that we cannot figure this film out. Like, it has to still be somewhere. We can figure it out.
They said it was destroyed, but they said a lot of things. That's the thing is,
it's Russia. We do not trust Russia.
That's the thing is, I just
shout out to all our Russian listeners.
Love you.
Love
you. I just went over all of those theories, and each time it was like, well, there wasn't enough evidence for this. There wasn't enough evidence for this.
But
like,
also evidence is missing.
What if there was, and they just, it was all a cover up? They very well could have found out that there was some sort of science experiment going up on the mountain, but they said, oh shit, we're not supposed to be doing things up here, cover it up. There could have been a UFO flying across the sky that the government knew about, and they said, don't tell anybody, cover it up. There could have been film on that camera, don't tell anybody, cover it up. It all was fishy. It got classified very quickly. It was hidden from everyone. Pages are missing.
It could be anything.
I know.
It's also weird that, because I know in America, it's 30 to 35 years that they classify stuff, right? In America?
Yeah. I think it's about...
Well, no, I mean, because, like, I remember, like, when Deep Throat got outed, I think it had been, like, 30 years where they were like, this is when we'll tell you who Deep Throat was.
That's what happened
here.
It's
weird to me that in Russia they do that, because you would think that they'd just be like, we don't care what you want.
We're not showing it. I was actually shocked that it finally was declassified and posted online 30 years later. And it's still like, we have no answers. That's what drives me crazy. And Lev Ivanov, that investigator who was all into the alien theory and wanted to reopen it, he unfortunately is dead now due to old age. And I'm so sad because I feel like he was the only one that was like, let's look into
this
more. Like, I'm onto something here. Let's look at this. And then he never really got it going enough. It makes me sad. Lev.
Boy, oh boy.
Right?
Anyways. That's insane.
Yeah.
I love that story. I did not know about the 2018 shit.
I know. So that's like
insane.
Ongoing. Like, you can
Google
they're
like
it
looking
and get
it up
full
right now.
Documents. Yeah.
Woo-wee.
I also have never, I mean, I never, when Ashley texted me, have you heard of this? I was like, no. And I was going to look it up. And then I was like, no, I want it to be a surprise. Because
I'm so glad you did that.
I knew that what it was for. But I was like, oh, it's probably one of those things where you're like, oh, I don't know what it is. And then you're like, oh, I have never in my entire life heard anything about this horse hockey that happened on top of a mountain in Russia.
It should be talked about all the
time. It should be talked about every day.
We should every day light a candle for those men and women.
Yes. Anytime you are in a job interview, it should be brought up.
You're like, die, love, pass. Am I right?
If somebody proposes to you,
proposals,
you need to be like, listen.
Confession at church.
Confession to a priest. You'd ask him about it.
I must admit that yesterday I forgot to talk about Diet Love Pass.
I must confess.
And the priest is just going to be like, really over you coming in here every day and talking to me about this.
That's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Make sure you follow Amy on Instagram at HanselPants. That's HanselPantz. Real funky there at the end. Hansel Pants. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Keep It Weirdcast and our Facebook page, Keep It Weird. Please check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to find ways you can donate to the show and get some goodies. This week, I mailed out stickers and recorded a bonus minisode, and last week, I sent out a really creepy newsletter. All the money you donate goes into producing the show. Helps us make the show, helps you listen to the show. Everybody wins. You win, especially, because you're getting a bunch of cool stuff. Make sure you tune in next week for part two of this Unsolved Mysteries episode when Amy tells the story of an unsolved murder that 100% should have been solved a long time ago. And I will share with you my favorite crazy mystery that took place right here in Los Angeles. And then after that, we have a very, very funny two-part Urban Legends episode with return guests Pete and Scott. But for now, I'll leave you with an apology for all the tangents, and I'll see you next week. And as always, keep it weird.
Do you think that there will be a time where, like, aliens will just be like, you know,
it was us,
we're here, and it'll be like in True Blood when all the vampires,
when they come out of the coffin,
but they'll come out of the spaceship,
yeah, and they'll be like, we've been here the whole time, all that weird shit, that was us, we're queer. Sorry,
get used to it,
deal with it.
But we mean queer is in like the old school way where we're odd because we're aliens and we're not weird to us. But to you guys, weird that our heads are the strange. Way that they are. Also, we're not great at making dinner reservations. Thank God. Thank God this Google assistant can make it for me because I get sweaty, which is purple because I'm an alien. I have purple sweat. I don't know why I became Mel Brooks. I get purple sweat. I'm an alien and I'm living my life and I get my... Do you know how often I get my cape stuck in a door? There's doors all over a spaceship. I hope aliens are like that. I hope they're not like Mars Attacks like aliens who are like, we hate doves. We're going to murder everyone.
We want everything to die.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.